Hello, all you wonderfully strange and unusual creatures.
I'm Corey.
And I'm Courtney. And this is Sinister Crimes and Cocktails, a true crime show that digs into the dark depths of sinister minds, their menacing crimes, and mistakes left behind, all while sipping on a sinister cocktail masterminded by Corey for each episode.
We want to first start out by saying that our sinister cocktails featured for each episode is just to help us lighten the mood a bit on the dark and horrific crimes we cover. And in no way, shape, or form are we trying to make light of the horrific crimes. Please know our hearts go out to the victims, their families and friends, and law enforcement affected by each of the cases we cover.
Okay, Corey, what sinister cocktail have you masterminded for today's Easter bonus episode?
I'm calling this one a sinister tradition. 2 ounces of vodka, 4 ounces of carrot juice, 1.5 ounces of dill pickle juice, a dash of wash your ass in the shower sauce, or for some people, Worcestershire sauce. I never say it Worcestershire sauce. I never say it right, so I like to call it the wash your ass in the shower sauce. 1/4 teaspoon of your favorite seasoning blend. I used a beer butt chicken blend seasoning because it kind of has all kinds of cool seasonings in it, so it made it flavorful. And a little dash of salt. Combine all the ingredients into a shaker with some ice and give it a good shake. Strain into a tall glass filled with ice and garnish with an array of pickled vegetables. Happy Easter and enjoy.
It's so good. It really is a good riff off of Bloody Mary, especially if you like carrot juice. Man, this is really good.
It's really good. Courtney also likes my garnishes of just olives and pickles for the pickled vegetables. But hey, you know, you never know. I made it pretty, and you should go to our Instagram or our Facebooks and look at the pretty
pictures. It's very Eastery in spring.
It is. And I also garnished it with a nice slice of carrot and some green fronds that tickle your nose when you drink it. So a little service announcement, drink it with a straw. It might help.
It's really great.
It is good.
So while you strange and unusual creatures, pour yourself a cocktail and settle in for this sinister Easter tradition. Believe us, you're gonna need it. For most of us, when we think of Easter, we think of church services, the Easter bunny, dyed eggs, family gatherings, and Easter egg hunts. However, for one country, their most common Easter tradition is something altogether more sinister. Christians throughout the world recognize Easter as the time in which Jesus Christ rose from his tomb, with many countries having their own traditions during the holiday. Of course, many of these traditions include a religious aspect, which can include a sunrise service or a late night vigil. In the American Easter holiday tradition, the Easter Bunny and his bountiful collection of eggs has become synonymous with the holiday. The large adult bunny with floppy ears is a little like...
Is that you?
Or is that me?
Is that me?
I think it was me. I'm not real sure, though.
These might be a little strong. The fact that we don't know who's making noises.
I'm not sure if it was me or you. There's nothing carbonated in this. Sorry. Take me another drink here.
I had to get my giggles out. The large adult bunny with floppy ears is a little like Santa breaking into homes to deliver his Easter baskets filled with chocolate bunnies, candy, and stuffed animals.
Can I just say, is anybody else out there like me? I don't really like Santa, and I don't really like the Easter Bunny. Somebody with a mask breaking into my house really creeps me out.
It's Miss Peachtree. I haven't cleaned in a couple days.
She's like, ma'am, get off your podcast and clean your house.
If you don't know, I think I have a ghost. But yeah, Santa is...
He's creepy.
He's creepy. So is the Easter Bunny. I mean, they're breaking
into
your house.
Mask people breaking into your house. I mean, even if they're leaving you goodies, it still freaks me out.
Well, Santa's not really masked, is he?
Well, I mean, he's got the beard. You can't really see.
Your husband has a beard.
But I know it's my husband, I think, most of the time.
I hope.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's creepy. I don't like anybody breaking into my house while I sleep. That's freaking creepy.
It is creepy. We're really traumatizing your children.
Especially when they grow up and know that you're lying to them.
Yeah. Children also take delight in hunting plastic eggs filled with candy, trinkets, or even money. Real eggs are often dyed and decorated by children as well, which if those are left unfound, they can stink.
Yes, I got the trash man driving by going, what the hell's that smell in your yard?
That's exactly right. It's a dead body.
Nope, it's just Easter eggs left over. Sorry, my bad. Somebody didn't find that one. I hit it too well.
Across the pond in England, the children also take delight in decorating and hunting eggs, as well as giving Easter eggs to family and friends as presents. I don't like that tradition.
Oh, come on, Court.
No.
I'm going to bring a big old basket of boiled eggs over.
That is the worst tradition ever. Like,
so if our listeners don't know, Courtney is, she has an aversion to eggs. She hates them. No, you do eat deviled eggs on occasion.
I do eat deviled eggs on occasion.
And you eat it in your potato salad.
No, I do not.
As long as you cut it up really small.
And I can't tell.
Yeah. One of my favorite stories is my mom, last time she made potato salad, she usually always puts eggs in her, boiled eggs and potato salad. But last time Courtney ate with us, she took a big old bite and her big girl eyes got big, huge. And she's just looking at us. She's like, is there eggs in this? My mom's like, nope.
She straight up lied to me all straight face. I was like, I know there's eggs.
Just like a true parent. Nope.
And look, and I usually know that Miss Kim puts eggs, but she usually cuts them up so fine that I don't notice. But there was large chunks this time. And I was like, Your mom's like, just pick them out.
Pick them out. You'll be fine. But I mean, she did, dude. She didn't miss a beat. She was like, nope. Straight up. You're like, bitch, I'm chewing on an egg. What are you talking about? I know there's eggs in these.
However, not all countries have Easter traditions filled with a floppy-eared rabbit who delivers a basket full of treats. Every year, Norway tops the list of strange ways to celebrate the Easter holiday around the world. I didn't know there was a whole bunch of countries with strange traditions.
I didn't either. Did you? That's weird.
You might be surprised that hundreds of thousands of Norwegians spend their time during the Easter holiday indulging in reading crime stories or watching them on TV.
I mean, it's cool. I like it. I mean, I think Norway is kind of my place now if you want to, you know, celebrate Easter by, reading about crimes and watching them on TV. But I also will say, too, it's quite fitting because if you think about it, Easter's surrounded by the ultimate crime. The killing of Jesus Christ, right? We covered that last year in our podcast for Easter. So for me, it's kind of an interesting tradition. It makes more sense than a bunny and some eggs being hidden. I'm just saying. To me, it's like,
that's more pagan traditions, yeah, I think. I mean, like the fertility and spring.
I guess so. I mean, to me, it's just kind of neat that crime is kind of what they look at when you talk about that's why Easter is really about is from the ultimate crime of taking somebody's life.
I would agree, Corey. Good job.
Are you impressed?
Your English teachers would be so impressed
right
now.
They would be very impressed if they were all still alive.
Some might be.
I don't know.
You're not that old. You're younger than me.
I keep looking in the obituaries and they keep dying. I don't know what. I feel like you don't have a long lasting life.
High school was over 20 years ago.
Honey, high school was 24 years ago.
Shut up. Mm-hmm. I like to just say 20. All right. That's where I'm at. 20 years ago.
You're 26 years ago.
Shut up, Corey.
Let that one go.
That doesn't seem right.
It can't be.
It can't be. I feel like I just graduated college.
Yeah. Oof, that was 20 years ago. Oof.
Oh. That's sad.
Back in our good old days, Corey, yeah. You know, we were running around all young and, you know.
Could hang all night. I wasn't night. I wasn't Nighthawk.
Back when you had the real, when you were able to stay up past 9 o'clock.
When I was really a Nighthawk.
Now the sun goes down and I'm like, oh, man.
Me too. 8 o'clock, you know, I'm already like, PJs.
PJs, let's go. Good night, y'all. Love y'all.
Reading crime stories during the holiday in Norway is just as normal as you or I biting the head off of a chocolate bunny.
They're watching something else getting the head bit off, I'm just saying.
I mean, we are kind of fucked up biting heads off.
I know, you make this sweet little bunny, you're like, ah, it tastes so delicious.
I personally like the tail first.
I have to go shopping for my kids' Easter shit. I haven't even bought Easter shit
yet. There's nothing left.
I'm going to Walgreens or something.
Walgreens?
I'm going to get there and get like a little like chocolate peanut butter bunny. Here you go. Doesn't Reese's make chocolate peanut butter bunnies?
You're going to be like, if you find one, it's going to be some off-brand chalky shit. They're going to be like, thanks, Mom. I feel like this was an afterthought.
They're going to be like, bitch, you forgot about Easter, didn't you? Yeah, I did. My bad. Sorry. I love you, though.
This tradition of immersing yourself in crime stories, whether on TV, at the movie theaters, or in a novel, is known as the tradition of Passacrims. I hope I pronounced that right.
Passacrims, yep.
Or translated as Easter crime. I like that. Easter crime.
I do too. This is really, really cool, Court. And I'm so glad you found this to talk about. Because I just really think it's a neat tradition when you talk about all the things that we do. I mean, to me, it's so much odder with what we do and what England does to what they do. And I know some people are going, what are you talking about, Corey? But if you think about it, really, I mean, it is an odd tradition. How the hell did Easter Bunny and the damn eggs come about over, it's literally so celebrating the killing of somebody, the murder of somebody. Very interesting stuff.
Agree. The Norwegians prefer genre of dark crime stories with bleak Scandinavian settings are often referred as Nordic noir. Nordic noir has become a term that refers to dark contemporary crime fiction from the Nordic countries. The crime stories usually entail a bleak setting, a strong plot, brutal crimes, and a tortured protagonist. Sounds lovely. This is my kind of reading. I'm not going to lie.
I'm just saying, I really feel like we're going to stop eating chocolate bunnies and we're going to start looking at crime on Easter. That's going to be my new thing in my family.
I just want to say, I feel like for Easter, this is what we should start doing. Our family should start taking up this tradition.
We should totally do murder mysteries on Easter instead of, you know,
Why didn't I find a murder mystery for us to do on Sunday? Man!
We're going to do murder mysteries. groceries instead of egg hunts.
I still got a date. Give me some time.
Let's hunt for severed heads, kids. This is going to be fun. Gonna be...
I have all those severed heads from Halloween that I hung in the tree.
They're props, people. They're props. For the love of God, don't come at us. Courtney does not have a bucket of severed head in her garage that I've seen.
No, I don't. It's props. It's props. I didn't think about the way that came off.
All the missing people in the United States court's got their heads in her garage.
Oh, you would be so excited.
I'd be like, my podcast partner's a serial killer. This is the best day of my life.
I'm definitely getting my interview now. The genre has a massive world following, but the obsession with crime stories at Easter is solely a Norwegian tradition. During the month of March, if you were to travel to Norway, you would find that their bookstore shelves are completely filled with Nordic noir crime stories in preparation for the Easter holiday. I love this.
I do too. But you know, the Norwegians are very stoic people to begin with. I mean, this could totally see something that I could see them into. Plus, it's really cold and dark over there a lot of times. Because you're talking like you're in the Baltic Sea area, that kind of upper towards the Antarctica kind of area. So I can definitely see why, you know, they're a little bit more into this kind of stuff because they don't really have a spring.
Well, also, they're fucking Vikings. Yeah. Like, they pillage and rape and are brutal.
They chop your head off their enemies and drink out of their skulls. I mean, this is kind of their thing.
Yep, I would agree with that.
All the Norwegians are like, don't you know? What you mean?
You and your Minnesota accent.
I'm telling you, there's a Minnesota, there's a whole like Norwegian settlement in Minnesota, Michigan, somewhere up there. I'm telling you.
Corey.
When I go to Norway, I'm going to come back. I'm gonna take a video of me with some Norway people going, don't you know?
I was like, I feel like this is how we talk.
Yoo-hoo.
I believe that.
Sitting in their saunas. I'm just saying. I love Norway people. I want to come become one of part of y'all. I love you.
So if any of you would like to fund a trip for Courtney and I.
I'm in Norway. I'm having fun. I'm doing interviews. I am celebrating dark crimes with the Norwegian people. 100%.
Agree. Now, one reason that this strange and unusual tradition has settled into the Norwegian culture is that more than any other holiday, Easter is the time when people head to their cabins in the snowy mountains or to the cabins near the sea. With cozy fires to nestle up to or basking in the sun by the sea's edge, immersing yourself in crime stories is a great way to spend the Easter holiday, which for many Norwegians is an extended time of 10 days. First of all, fuck no. That means our kids are going to be out that long. I already don't like the 4-day weekend.
I know. We're just in the first part of it where it's only Friday.
Exactly. And second of all, are all Norwegians fucking millionaires? They have a fucking winter cabin or a summer cabin? I don't understand.
I feel like you probably don't have as big as houses over there because you don't have such landmass. So it's probably easier to have kind of one of both, you know, kind of have a winter home and a summer home. Or just like, we're talking cabins. We're not talking industrial homes with, you know, 2 or 3 stories here. We're talking like, you know, maybe 1 or 2 bedroom little shacks. And over here in the United States, what's really interesting that a lot of stuff doesn't happen in other countries is like when we go places and we visit family, we stay with family. But in a lot of other countries, you don't do that. Like you go and have your own space. Like you don't stay with your family. So this is something a little bit interesting to me on that part. Not too strange to think that they both have, you know, a summer home and a winter home.
I was like, damn, what are they all doing over there?
Plus, you have to try to get someplace a little bit warmer, even to like see like a vegetable pop out of the ground. I need to see some greenery somewhere.
So, what led to the Norwegian sinister tradition for bloody crime stories? Would you believe that it was a campaign? I don't know what the...
God damn it, we're not using Tito's in this anymore. That's it, that vodka's too strong.
Would you believe that it was a campaign advertising trick? Why do I always make that noise? Like, I need to do that before I... Let's go back almost a century to Norway in February of 1923. Two young and very broke Norwegian authors, Nordell Krieg and Niels Lie, had written a crime novel that they hoped would become a bestseller. However, it got little attention. Now, it wouldn't be until the involvement of publisher Glenn Dindell that the novel would be propelled into the spotlight that would create a nationwide crime obsession for years to come. That's pretty smart.
Yeah, that's really smart.
That Saturday before Easter in 1923, the young author's publisher took out a front page advertisement in the Norwegian newspaper, Aftenposten. The slogan for the front page read, Bergen train looted at night, referring to the world famous Oslo to Bergen railway. The slogan also just happened to be the title of Nordell and Niles' crime novel. Pretty damn smart.
Very smart.
With so many people confusing the campaign stunt for a real news story, it actually achieved widespread coverage and the book became a bestseller. Many consider this novel to be the first Easter crime story and the very origin of the Norwegian tradition.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is.
But I can't keep circling around this, I know, but it makes sense because, like I said, this would be interesting if you're stuck inside the house because, again, like right now, it is 39 degrees in Norway. We currently over here are experiencing nice 75 degrees and sunny. It is 39 degrees and dark in Norway. I'm just saying. I mean, cozying up next to a fire, reading a good story, I can see it.
Yep, I would agree.
Now, ever since, crime stories and Easter have gone together like peanut butter and jelly in the Norwegian culture. The crime novel, Virgin Train Looted at Night, is about the robbery, or more specifically, the looting of a train to Bergen. The book takes place over the Easter weekend holiday, which just so happens to fall on April 1st, also known as April Fool's Day.
Oh, good old April Fool's Day.
In the book, the police initially believe the robbery and looting to be an April Fool's joke and take their time responding, allowing the criminals to make their escape across the mountains on skis, going undetected.
I don't know about this. Fuck okay. That. Ski.
Okay. Well, first of all, you have to understand, that's how you get around in Norway. I mean, you're talking about Norway is one of those countries that's mostly covered in snow 24/7 year round. Very rare do they not have snow. So getting around by skis, I can see that happening. Or ski mobiles or that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm sure it's more advanced nowadays than it was back in when they wrote the book, but I can see it.
I don't think I would do well.
They also have those big tennis racket things on their feet. You know what I mean? That they walk with the snow.
Oh, that's because they're going to go
snowshoeing.
Yeah.
They got to walk. That's how they do it. And I mean, you know, nobody ever seen the movie Frozen? Like, that's where they're from. Norway. Let it go.
Please, Corey, keep singing. Our listeners would like to listen.
Yeah, right.
Today, with technology having changed in so many ways, books still remain at the core of the Passacrim Easter tradition, but the phenomenon has spread into other forms of entertainment as well. Crime shows and films from Scandinavia and other areas are shown on TV, with British crime shows a particular favorite. There is even a festival held a few weeks before Easter that celebrates and explores the Scandinavian tradition of Easter crimes.
That's pretty cool, because over here we're having crawfish festivals, and over there they're having crime festivals.
Agreed.
Court, we really need to go to Norway and celebrate with them. I think this is cool.
I think we need to go, too.
I think it's interesting, and I mean, and bring true crime to them. Enough with this, like, fake stuff. Let's talk to you about some real scary shit.
Agree.
I mean, they may not want us back. Might be banned from Norway. But this is a really, really cool, and I mean, how cool of a tradition, because like I said before, I mean, really, Easter is about the ultimate crime, the ultimate murder, right, of Jesus Christ. So to get into the murder mysteries and cozying up and talking about that kind of stuff is really neat.
I would agree.
I think it's kind of a cool thing, better than biting chocolate heads off bunnies. Heads off chocolate bunnies, let me say it that way.
Well, I hope you all enjoyed this little Easter tradition, and I hope you have a very happy Thanksgiving. Nope. Very happy Easter.
We're not using Tito's anymore in our drinks, Courtney. Well, as always,
stay strange and unusual.
We'll be back next week with another cocktail and a new tale of sinister minds, their menacing crimes, and mistakes they left behind. Thanks for listening. Please don't forget to subscribe and download us on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite show.
Want the recipe to try Corey's sinister cocktail from today's episode? Or have any constructive feedback or true crime stories you would like to hear us cover? Or even sinister cocktail recipes for us to try? Email us at sinistercrimesandcocktails@gmail.com. Visit our website, www.sinistercrimesandcocktailspodcast.com, Facebook page, Sinister Crimes and Cocktails, and our Instagram page, Sinister Crimes and Cocktails.
Love what you heard and want to help support our show or donate to our Sinister Cocktail Fund? You can donate to our Cash App at @SinisterCrimes, all one word, and we will give you a shout out on our next episode and which fund you donate to. Thank you.